You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops. We're bringing the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north in Aria, down south to Elad, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, then I know that you do. Make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review. Check us out at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you in both. We have a ton of stuff to unpack on the show. Maccabi EuroLeague, Hapoel Tel Aviv Euro Cup, Hapoel Jerusalem back in the Israeli League, Hapoel Holon Basketball Champions League, Women's Basketball, Lumit Basketball. And to wrap it all up, of course, we'll talk a little bit about soccer right at the end. And then Sports Rabbi has some comments about the Israeli League as well. We'll get to that also. Ben Pask, how you doing today? What's going on, baby?
Josh, thank you for having me on. It's always good to speak about basketball, especially in these times. It's a good distraction, and we're getting back to the new normal now. Unfortunately, but fortunately, there's basketball, which is helping with a bit of escapism, as they like to say.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much of escape is to watch Hapoel Jerusalem and Hapoel Afula or Hapoel Jerusalem Maccabi Ramat Gan, but we'll get to that shortly. All right, let's start off with Maccabi Tel Aviv. Maccabi Tel Aviv, double week again in the EuroLeague. They defeat. Yes, they defeat Villebron in a really crazy game, 94-91. Went right down to the wire. Wade Baldwin, star of stars, did a fantastic job. Was clutch at the end again with those free throws. Lorenzo Brown with the free throws. And, of course, the big little stop, I will call block shot, on Nando DiCarlo as he looked to tie it up as the game expired. Again, Friday night, Maccabi Tel Aviv in Bologna, place of the sports where I was at last year. We'll talk about that as well. Ben Pask, I got to tell you, this was a game that drove anybody into fits, because Maccabi Tel Aviv goes into playing Villebron, and Villebron's not a good team, right? I mean, you look at their roster, they're not that good. Let's call a fact a fact. They're in 17th place. They were 2-9 going into the game. Maccabi Tel Aviv was 6-5 going into the game. You know, they have some has-beens and Mike Scott. They have some wannabes in Paris Lee. They have some guards on the end of their, you know, going on the wrong side of their career of Nando DiCarlo, David Lighty, and then, of course, Noam Yaakov, who really only played a minute and 20 seconds or so and did nothing in that time, Israeli. They don't have very much. What they do have is Gianmarco Pacheco, their new head coach, replacing TJ Parker. Of course, Pacheco also the head coach of the Italian national team, and he brings with a ton. And it just shows you what a good coach can do for a team, because a team that is languishing at the bottom of the standings and is not good played toe-to-toe against Maccabi Tel Aviv in their old arena. They just moved into a brand-new arena in Lyon, but they played this one back at the Astro Ball. It was not a lot of people were there. Maccabi Tel Aviv comes in with a star-studded roster. I mean, let's be honest, okay? You look at the players one-to-one, Maccabi Tel Aviv has a better roster, Ben. Lorenzo Brown, Wade Baldwin, to start off at the top. And then Bonzi Colson has been, tremendous. And you look at the role players on Maccabi Tel Aviv, just much better. And what did we get? We got a game that Pacheco knew exactly how to play Maccabi tough. And Maccabi Tel Aviv suffered, and they suffered, and they suffered, and they suffered some more. Finally, they took a lead going into the fourth quarter, 70-66. And, it was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But at the end of the day, the stars, Ben, did what they had to do. Wade Baldwin, Lorenzo Brown, they checked in with all the points. I have a great article about that game, about the game, just about winning the game and going into this next game against Bologna. Ben, of course, has his good, bad, and ugly. You can check that out as well on sportsrabbi.com. But Ben, at the end of the day, Maccabi's quality ended up winning out in this game. But boy, it was a nail biter right to the end.
It was a difficult game to watch, especially that first half, as you said in the piece that I wrote. It wasn't what we expected before the game. You said Maccabi cannot lose this game. Like, they will not lose this game. And halftime, they're down 45-46 to a team that for every 20 minutes averages under 40 points. Maccabi was losing under the basket 19-17, which was the second half they recovered and won it relatively convincingly. But the first half, they just came out so soft, and you know, Laverne and the others at the French team they were just dominating. And like you said, they were just better prepared. And I think we talk about how the game is played a lot above the shoulders. And I think they just were a lot better prepared for that game.
Yeah.
The crowd was disappointing as well. Like you said, for us fans here that are craving live basketball to the extent that we're going to the Little Mid League and the Israeli League when we can, which is the quality isn't.
You didn't say the Women's League.
and the Women's League as well. No, all of them. For us craving it, and to see another point which was disappointing watching on the couch to see a half empty stadium.
It was brutal. I mean, that first half was brutal. And then the worst thing is that Maccabi took a 10-point lead, right? They looked, and I said, that's the end of the game. Bye-bye, so long, farewell. And what happened? They went on some 15-0 run. How do you allow Villebron to go on a 15-0 run in the second quarter? How is it possible for Maccabi Tel Aviv? You cannot allow a 15-0 run. It's inconceivable. You have to find a way to stop the momentum. I mean, they called the timeout. It's not that they didn't do it. But at the end of the day, Maccabi Tel Aviv's quality showed. And you look at the box score again, Wade Baldwin, 21 points, 8 assists. Lorenzo Brown, 16 points. Again, you know, the big number there, 6 for 7 from the free throw line. And Lorenzo hit those free throws right down the stretch. You look at Roman Sorkin, was tremendous, 7 for 8 from the field, 15 points, 8 rebounds. And you wrote about him in your piece. 15 points, Bonzi Colson. Look back to Bonzi Colson, 6 for 7 from the field. Tamir Blatt was great. He gave you 3 for 4 from 3-point land. For 9 points, that's exactly what you need him to do. Josh Nebo, 9 points, 7 rebounds. That's exactly what you need him to do. Rivero wasn't as good, but he, again, 4 points, 5 rebounds. But, you know, but the biggest problem here, James Webb is a disaster. So in 4 minutes, it is like non-existent. Antonis Cleveland, 9 minutes, 3 points, 3 rebounds. And he was fine. There was no issue there. If anybody needs playing time right now, it's James Webb. So he should be coming back to play that game against Bay Herzliya desperately. Jeffrey Laverne destroyed Maccabi inside. 23 points, 9 rebounds. Timothy Luwawu Kabara, 19 points, killed him inside. Nando DiColo killed him outside, 22 points. 3 for 10 from three, but still, you know, he was a huge aspect of that game. Edwin Jackson, 7 points, which that's a lot of points for Edwin Jackson. And Mike Scott, he got 6 points over there, too. Maccabi Tel Aviv still giving up way too many points. And I think the key line, Ben, when I listened to everything, and I got to hear the press conference a day later and whatever it was. But I think even Oded said this in the post-game comments right after the game, that they were a step and a half like behind. They were a step behind defensively the whole game. And they were. They were a step behind defensively. You can't give up 91 points. You can't do it. And they're doing it game in, game out. But again, they also have a potent offense. It's going to score 94 points. You know, it was a tough game, but again, at the end of the day, they're 7-5. They're in sixth place. They are tied. If you look at the standings, Ben, other 7-5 teams right now: Monaco in fourth, Baskonia in fifth. So you're looking at a Maccabi Tel Aviv team that's in good shape. And even if they go 7-6, Partizan is 7-6, FS 7-6, Bologna is 8-4. So now, if Maccabi can, you know, chalk up another win, they're 8-5. They have the same record as Bologna. And I got to tell you, Bologna's playing good basketball. I don't see it. I don't see this team as being such a great team. Now, Luca Banchi has never been, in my eyes, he's now the head coach, took over Sergio Scariolo, Ben, has never been, in my eyes, a top-level coach. And you can ask Maccabi fans back from the 2014 EuroLeague, when he was coaching Milan, exactly how they were able to school him. But they did defeat Barcelona 80-75 last game. They're getting the wins. And they're getting
not only that, it was a huge comeback.
It was a huge comeback. I mean, it was 45-33 at halftime. They looked brutal and miserable. And then the third quarter, 23-16, 24-14 in the fourth quarter. And you're getting Ife Lundberg with 21 points. He had a little spell in the NBA. Shingelia is playing his best basketball in years with 14 points and 9 rebounds. Hackett, who is over the hill 10 times over with 14 points and 6 assists, still playing incredible. Isaiah Cordonnier, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. They're a good team. Marco Bellinelli is still killing it, okay? This guy's old as the hills. And he had 8 points, but he's averaging like 13 points. Jordan Mickey, again, another guy that's been around the block forever and a half with 8 points. Brian Dunstan, who started his career in Israel about a half a century ago, plays 20 minutes and it's going to kill you inside. I mean, they're a good team. They're well-constructed. Scariolo had some, you know, nasty things to say about management and ownership before the season, and they showed him the door, and they brought in Luca Banchi, who really has played, who has been an incredible coach, coached the Latvian national team to quarterfinals, finished in fifth in the World Cup. I mean, this is Latvia. We're not talking about Italy here. Luca Banchi, the Italian coach, took Latvia with a without Porzingis, without Kristaps Porzingis here, to fifth place overall in the World Cup, and they were good. They were beating teams. They were really, really good. He coached Strasbourg last year. He gets another chance again at about 57, 58 years old, Ben. I was in Bologna. It's a weird stadium. It's basically an arena that they constructed out of, you know, metal. It's a temporary arena. It's in this, I don't know, weird area of town. It seats 5,000 people. It's loud. Their fans are incredible. I have some incredible videos. I mean, I'm sure you remember when I was there last year, I got to see them play Alba Berlin and Tamir Vlad and Yovel Zussman. But it was Maccabi's going to have a tough time there. I mean, they're good. I can't believe they're good. They also have one of the Sports Rabbi's favorites in Jaleen Smith, I made at Ella also.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're playing well. You mentioned some of the players. Shingalia, just looking, has scored at least 12 points in 13 games straight. He's had five or more rebounds in 9 games straight. And again, the key is going to be the rebounds, because Maccabi is statistically a better rebounding team. And Maccabi is not only statistically, like, it's not only the numbers. It's, you see it on the court. They should be. You should have Josh Nebo, Roman Sorkin, even, you know, Bonsi, James Wood. These guys should be dominating the boards in this game. It's going to be a key. But at the same time, if you mentioned Bellinelli as well, he's scored multiple threes in 9 of his last 10 games. So on the one hand, you need to have the guards making sure that they're, you know, doing their job. And again, you mentioned it earlier, but credit to Wade Baldwin on that last play, blocking the Colo. That was a huge play, especially given the game that he had had up till then. But it's going to be a challenge, and Maccabi is going to need to be on their A game to get the win tonight. And unfortunately, given circumstances and everything, I unfortunately don't see it happening.
So one little quick thing about Wade, and I love this. In his interview after the game, he was saying what kind of honor it was to be able to get the block on one of the all-time great, if not the greatest, European guard in Ander the Colo. Now, that's full marks to Wade Baldwin for saying that. And that was just like, I got to tell you, I was like blown away that he said it. Just like, he understood the magnitude of tipping that shot from a player like Nando De Colo. Full marks to Wade Baldwin for that, Ben. I got to say that right out front. Two, can Maccabi Tel Aviv win this game? That's my piece. They can win this game. I truly believe that they, and I'm not wearing my yellow and blue glasses here like many people that do wear them. I really believe that Maccabi Tel Aviv can win this game. I think that the key is, number one, I think Oded also said it, that they're going to be better this game. They hadn't played a game in a week. You know, it's tough when you're not in a regular rhythm of game and practices. It's just very tough. And I think that the game against Villebrun was very good for them going into this game. I think that Maccabi Tel Aviv can win this game. If they don't win this game, it's not the end of the world. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like tragedy has struck. They're still going to be 7-6. They're in decent position. They have coming up, they have FS, Anadolu Efes, which is a winnable game. They have Bastonia, which is a winnable game. They have Red Star Belgrade, which is a winnable game. They have 3 straight games at home, away from home, in an empty. And we have to remind everybody, it's going to be an empty Pioneer Arena. And then you have Žalgiris on the road, which is always tough. I still think Maccabi Tel Aviv can finish this month with their head over 500. Now, if they do win this game, they're 8-5. They're in tremendous position. And I think that knowing that enough for the players is something to really, really push them to say, hey, you know what? We win this game, we're in like super, super, super position right now. And that's exactly what I said. Winning is the name of the game. They know that. They have a big test coming up. And this is, this is not Real Madrid. This is Bologna still. They're a very good team. This is not Real Madrid. This is not an unbeatable team. This is a team that they can win against. Will they win? You say no. The sports rabbi says yes. I guess we'll see. Any final thoughts on the Maccabi before we move on?
Now, let's what are we on to next? The Hapoel Tel Aviv.
Let's go to Hapoel Tel Aviv. Yep, they were 95-80 winners over City Vita Olimpia Ljubljana in a game that let's be honest here. Ljubljana is a bad team. I love Simone Piaggiani. They're 0-10 right now. It was 45-41 at half. And then, they turned on the Jets a little bit, Hapoel Tel Aviv did, and they finished off the game 21. They just had, good scoring. They had solid play from everybody. 17 points from Jalen Horde, 15 points from Brian Angola, 13 points from Zidane Zalmas, and 12 points from Xavier Munvert, 7 points from John Holland, an injured Tomer Ginad, who is really injured, 8 points. Jacobin Brown, 8 points, 9 assists. I mean, listen, Hapoel Tel Aviv is a good team. I mean, they're just really good. And Ljubljana had not much. They released Klemen Preplovic, who signed with Galatasaray. Jakub Lacik, 21 points. Karlo Matkovic, 19 points, 14 for DJ Stewart. I don't have much else to say about Hapoel Tel Aviv. I mean, let's dump into the whole issue that they had in their league game against Hapoel Be'er Sheva, shall we?
One thing I think I'll say about just Hapoel Tel Aviv, I think it's clear that they're a quality team, and even with everything that's been happening, they're doing what they need to do in Europe and so far in Israel. Like, they've had foreigners here. The only shame is for them, you really see such a difference in the quality between the best and the worst teams in the Euro Cup.
EuroCup's not a good competition.
EuroLeague, any team can win on their day. It's hard to see Alba beating Real.
Well, you know what? Alba was winning. Was winning most of the game against Efes. They looked like they were going to win the game, but
isn't Real.
Shane Larkin ended up turning on the Jets, and he took the win for them. The Euro Cup this year is not very good.
The point is, look at Hapoel Tel Aviv had some huge wins, but then the losses, I mean, they lost to Paris. So it was a bit of a walkover. It's maybe a bit of an understatement.
I think that game was an aberration. I'd throw that game.
Yeah, but there's just such a difference between the best in the Euro Cup and the worst. And I think that's shame for Hapoel Tel Aviv. But let's get to the local league. And looking forward to seeing them hopefully tomorrow night.
All right, they win against Be'er Sheva 95-78. They had two foreigners in the country, Jalen Horde, Kyle Alexander. Full marks to them for coming. That has to be, 31 points for Jalen Horde was tremendous. 20 points, Zidane Zalmanson, who was just really hot. 15 points, Kyle Alexander. 10 points, Bar Timor. Over Be'er Sheva, they're just not a good team. Really bad. Ira Lee, 15 points. He was supposed to be a Lumit foreigner. Ron Zipper, 14 points, 13 points, Igor Kuleshov, 11 points, Grant Sherfield. Before the game, that's what we have to talk about here. Hapoel Be'er Sheva fans decided that it would be a smart thing to do to boo.
Hapoel Tel Aviv fans.
Excuse me, Hapoel Tel Aviv, I don't remember what I said. Hapoel Tel Aviv fans thought it was intelligent to boo the police when they were doing a ceremony for the bereaved families of the police that were murdered and slaughtered on October 7th with the families in attendance. The fans decided to start chanting brutal songs, and I won't even go into it. It was disgusting, disgraceful, despicable, and it was an embarrassment. I saw this right away, and I was like, I contacted you right away. I was like, oh my God, you will not believe what's going on. I'm like, holy cow, you cannot believe what is just going on here. Like, they're just so stupid and tone deaf, these fans. Now, Hapoel Tel Aviv put out a comment, midway through the game, saying it was a coma, it's a small group. Okay, we've heard that before. The league then put out their comment without naming the teams involved in typical league fashion, where they're afraid to, ruffle any type of feathers. On top of that, you had the Igud putting out a comment, the police putting out a comment. I know that they basically said that they took away season tickets for some of the people already. They're going to have to apologize wholeheartedly to the families that they want to come back. Ofer Yonai, the owner, put out a comment. I haven't seen anything from Rami Cohen, the person that runs the day-to-day. I haven't seen anything really from Matan Kaplan, also the CEO of the club. There were two. I did hear from, they put out a statement that two of the people that hold tags of the league were taken in for questioning, and they were still there. They were upset about that. In fact, Hapoel Tel Aviv was. You can't really be complaining after what your fans did, and you'll just have to go there and eat the crap. That's the bottom line. Those fans, you should know that one of those fans was actually banned from from going to games. Did you know that, Ben? That they had been banned already and was at the game anyways. And that's exactly why, if we go back to the game against Maccabi Tel Aviv in the Winter Cup in the semifinal, where the police wanted to see IDs and match it, and the Hapoel Tel Aviv fans didn't want to allow them to see that, well, now we know exactly why they were asked to see those ID cards, Ben.
Yeah, it's unfortunately a bit chaotic, and the league hasn't, like you said, in their statement, they sort of tiptoed around and didn't name the team. And I think that that's a reflection of the league not being able, not wanting to take a stand and making tough decisions. And the fans, I'll say not from the game the other night, but the Winter Cup semi-final, understandably, they don't trust the police. What happened last year when their fans were removed and forcibly removed, violently removed and by the police, and I'm not accusing others, but the fans all walked out that game last season. It's unfortunately, I feel like the sports culture here, the teams, et cetera, it's not mature enough to be able to come together and just put their foot down and say, right, let's just try to start on a new foot going forward. And I think a lot of people probably thought, hopefully, since this, the war, the Hamas attack from October 7, a lot of things have changed. The nations come together, but unfortunately, the basketball is a step behind in many ways. But again, let's hope that we can continue to move forward and that things will get better. But there's a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the league, and I guess now's a good time to talk about the league. The league has done everything wrong. Every step of the way, they've done everything wrong. And then I'll take it back to what they were supposed to do after the whole disgrace of the final series last year. They were supposed to set up this commission and that commission to not allow to allow fans to come in with pyrotechnic, with the flares, which are dangerous. I mean, let's call what it is. They're dangerous, and you should not be letting flares in closed arenas. I don't want to hear about, yeah, well, if it's under this police rule and that police rule. No, you don't bring flares and flammable material into a game where you can cause death, okay? Let's be a little bit mature. But the league decided to do nothing. They have, they had this press conference from Ari Steinberg. They have that press conference with Ari Steinberg where they roll out the savior of the league, Kevin Rubin. What did I see this week on Ari Steinberg's Instagram page? A picture with him and Kevin Rubin. Is Kevin Rubin the savior of the league? They now, Shlomi Perry is now out as the CEO. He left his position. Ronnie Cohen is in as an interim. But let's call it, the league is so weak. The league is just really weak. They have no cojones to handle things. They are not doing what they need to do. They look to blame everybody else. They have no control over their product. You don't hear anything like from the league chairman. I read a quote today in an article. I saw he interviewed with this place. Why can't we have one big Zoom press conference or press conference, or that you put out statements, proper statements that are with names? Why can't Ari Steinberg put out a statement that goes out to all the media, not tiptoeing to this media outlet and that media outlet, and then only some people hear it and some people don't hear it? It's just really sad. I got to tell you, I don't understand what has happened to this league since Ari Steinberg has taken over as chairman. I did not see this nonsense with Shmuel Frankel as chairman. I did not see this nonsense where Shlomi Perry was involved. I don't understand what is going on there, but it's really weak. And if you look at the games that they've put out right now, we can start with last night's dilly of a game. 105-65, Hapoel Afula to Hapoel Jerusalem. Jerusalem playing with their four Israeli players who decided really not to play. I mean, they were just awful. They played disgracefully. They were embarrassment. You can talk a little bit about the game that you saw, of course, against Ramat Gan. They signed foreign players that, did nothing. Players that, like Joe Alexander's been playing, was going to play with Inter Alia in the fourth division. These guys should not, Adi Cohen Saban, your team manager, it's making a mockery of the league. I understand the foreigners didn't want to come back. I know that there was a terrorist attack, and I understand. And, a lot of people have ripped apart Coach Jikic for not coming back also. He's the leader and the head. I have no issue with Jikic not coming back, by the way. If the players aren't coming back, And that, you know, you're a foreigner. I have no issue. And people have ripped him apart in the Hebrew speaking media. I have no issue. I totally get it why he wouldn't want to come. I understand that things, you know, flipped, especially when there was that terrorist attack on that Thursday morning. Some of the players were supposed to come back. And I understand, hey, they were like, you know what? Hey, you know, let's take a step back here. Let's wait to see what's going on. And I feel that the league is just trying to force a product down everybody's throats that is just a subpar product right now. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, not to say, take anything away from Apollo Fool. They played brilliant basketball. Spencer Weiss is playing the best basketball of his time in Israel, 16 points. Marcellus Erlington with 25 points, 16 points Cam Shelton, 18 points from Cash Stanley, who had some nice dunks last night. And you saw a Ramat Gan team that, listen, they had some tough times at Jerusalem. Jerusalem tried hard. Talk a little bit about that game you were at, Ben.
Well, the actual game, I want to say first because you mentioned the top-up players for Jerusalem and Adiko and Sabani. He actually was pretty impressive in that Ramat Gan game. He's a guy who a few years ago did his ACL and then retired. He's one of the team managers at Jerusalem now, but he played. He looked fit, which surprised everyone. Compared to, say, someone like, you know, Joe Alexander was on the sidelines and he definitely didn't match fit in the game. But, you know, Gabi Chachashvili said after the game, the press conference, he played in Germany last year. If the same thing is going on in Germany, he wouldn't necessarily want to go back there. The players don't have the same connection to Israel as the local players.
And the head coach.
Understandable. It's very disappointing.
And the head coach.
It's disappointing, but at the same time, you got to understand it from, you know, what they were saying. You have to take their word for it. All the players were prepared to come back until there was that Pigua attack in Jerusalem. So you got to understand. It's very disappointing in terms of the league, what they're giving to us. It's not the product we want, but from their perspective, they need to play. And especially for the local teams who aren't playing in Europe, and it's probably a good time to talk about Ramat Gan. They did struggle. They didn't look convincing. They ended up winning 79-73 at that game at the Zitzman Arena in Ramat Gan on Tuesday night. The best player on the field, I think for most people, was JP Dakota.
Right, 23
points and added 6 rebounds as well. But even him from the line, he was not so accurate. He went to line 10 times. 5 of 10.
That's JP
Takata. That's him. But, you know, he's an athlete player, but he's a little inconsistent. Who else? Adam Ariel was leading from the front and had his 2 from 5 from 3, set up some plays nicely. Jordan Cohen had 11 points, going down 8 points for Jimmy Hall. Karen Mashar had 6 points, and he had some good defensive players as well. He's a player that, you know, Kiryat Ata last year, I liked him a lot, and I think he's just improving even more this season. And they don't have a bad team. I think it was a rusty game for them as well, but they got the win. They dug deep and did what they needed to do, and they're 2-0. And they're one of the teams that's going to be making the most of the situation where they've got, you know, have the full squad, not all the foreigners that they had at the start of the season. But they've got a squad that's here playing consistently and training consistently together. And it's an opportunity for them when they're coming up against, obviously, the lower teams, but the teams playing in Europe. They've got a chance to get out to a good start this season. And I think that they're doing that. A couple of other words about the game. It was obviously emotional. That as a ceremony before the game, honouring a number of people who fell on October 7th, families, the name unfortunately escapes me right now, that they honored in the middle of the court for a member of the team, one of the junior teams who was killed on October 7th. They had their his name is slipping my mind. It's Zico Abramov, blind pianist who played the anthem, and it was quite emotional seeing the anthem. It was nice to be there. Unfortunately, not a number of fans that I think the league was probably hoping for. There's a limit on the number of people that can be in the stadium, but they were not close to that limit, probably a couple of hundred off. It's also, I think, just being at the game. A strange thing during the war is they make announcements every on a regular basis saying what to do if there's a siren. If you're on the floor during a siren, going to the hallway where it's a safe area. If you're in the stands, sit there, hands on your head and between your knees. That's the advice that they
and pray. Say Shema.
That's it. And pray. Say Shema. The
awesome. Years ago, I was at a EuroLeague game. There were missiles flying, and this is like almost a decade ago. Maccabi lost the game. It was terrible. Everybody was like walking around on eggshells. I don't remember who they played. We were driving to the game. Was it going to be on? Was it going to be off? We decided I'm going to go. It was with Dove. And we get there, and they basically kept saying, like, if there's, you know, if you hear a siren, just put your head between your legs and, you know, say Shema, and, you know, hopefully everything will be okay. Not much more you can do over there. Let's take a look a little more about the Israeli league right now and some of the other games. Nes Ziona, I went up to Apollon Galil Elyon, and they were in for quite the shocker when they arrived up there, and they saw battalions and tanks. The foreigners saw people walking around with, you know, all kinds of weapons. They're literally a couple hundred meters away from a huge attack site that that missiles had come in from Hezbollah, I believe. They're about a less than a 10-minute drive from Kiryat Shmona. What was the league thinking to allow that game to happen in Galil Elyon? They didn't allow any fans to be there. I understand Galil Elyon wants to play in their home court. I get that, and they have every right to ask for that. Why are you taking your teams and risk them going into a war zone and putting everybody into a horribly disturbing situation that Nes Ziona and their foreigners were in? Again, I have no problem with Galil Elyon asking for it. At every right. What was the league thinking? They admitted that it was a mistake. What were they thinking, Ben?
You can ask that about a lot of decisions that have been made, a lot of things that they're doing. I don't know, but at least they're not being stubborn and continuing and conceding and making the corrections that they need to do going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's like one bad mistake after the next. I don't know who's making the decisions. I don't know. There's a committee of people. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't understand what the league has made, like literally every mistake after every mistake here. It's just really sad. I mean, it's just really, really sad. Getting back to the on-court action, Hapoel Haifa finally with a win, 78-76 over Hapoel Eilat. It was an entertaining game, I got to tell you, down south. The referees ruined it at the end with just going to the TV monitor 50 times too many. But it was a great game. It was fun. Amit Gershon with 22 points, 15 points for Jackson Stormo, 17 points for Mike McGurl, 12 points for Marvin Clark. And then you have from a lot, 29 points from Elijah Stewart, 13 points for Or Ashkenazi, 13 points from Sakhar Anim. That was a fun game. Hopefully some of the quality of the games are going to get a little bit better, but they have not been good up to now. I'm not going to go into every single game that was played. I want to touch on a few other topics here. Hapoel Holon, we haven't spoken about them, but they won their league game against Hapoel Afula. Let's just get to them in the Champions League action, Ben, for a second. They lose 72-65 to Bonn. This is a very tight group that they're in. They should make it through, even with a loss of 15, 16, 17 points in their last game to Bursaspor. They can make it through to the play-in round. They can even still make first place if Bonn loses and they win. It's like crazy, crazy. I was kind of disappointed with the way Hapoel Holon played in this game. They were, you know, they were not in it at the beginning. They went down, I think, 18-4 to start. Then they clawed back. They took the lead, but, you know, they just fell apart at the end. I think they were probably just wiped out. Bonn in first place, 3-2. Holon, 3-2. Rio Breogán, 2-3. Bursaspor, 2-3. It just wasn't one of their good games. They're allowed to have one of those once in a while, but you don't want them to cost them a chance to make it into this play-in tournament, Ben, going into the next round of the Champions League.
No, of course not. It's challenging for them. They've got a couple of weeks break now before the next game, and they're going to be playing again in Riga behind closed doors, which is unfortunate, not easy for them. But again, you think that you hope that they'll be able to get. The win they destroyed Riga in their last game at a 93-74 win about 2 weeks ago away. So you'd think that they would win and be able to get there, but Who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, what will change, etc. But he's hoping that they will get through.
All right, let's touch quickly on the Lou Meat League and the Women's League, shall we? The Lou Meat League has been very good. I've enjoyed the games. Israeli only. A couple articles I have about that. Ben, I enjoy seeing some of these players, some of the old veterans, if it's Nimrod Tishman or Benny Eisenhart, to some of the new players, if it's Eliad Tal and Tomer Agmon, who we saw sitting on Maccabi Tel Aviv's bench last year. It's good to see this. It's good to see this Israeli content. I'm happy to watch this league. They were in bubbles over the last 2 weeks. They're going back to their home courts. Ashkelon will play, though their game, I don't know, this is so weird. They played in Jerusalem the last two games with fans. Now they're going to play in the drive-in on Tuesday night with no fans and not on Ashkelon. Could you explain the reasoning behind that? And that's not a Minhella thing, right? I don't quite.
I was going to ask for the same people making the decisions for that league.
No, I don't. I just don't understand it. Why you like just play in Jerusalem again and have fans? Like, why are you not allowing fans in the drive-in if you know you can have fans anyways because you're going to be at a game on Saturday night? So it's just odd. It's just very odd. But I like the content. I like what's going on. The level of play has been okay. The first round was not as good, but that's to be expected. A little rust. The second round games were much better. Enjoyed it a lot. Women's League, Ben. That's been a lot of fun. I like seeing these young women having a chance to show what they can do on the court. Shani Berman out of nowhere throwing a gun with a great game. Gilly Eisner with almost a triple-double. As the coach, Roy Lazar, said, I don't know if you saw this in my article, she almost had a quadruple-double as she turned over the ball a little bit too many times. Paul Levy Yerushalayim, we should say that they lost arguably their best player in Alex Cohen, who went back to the States due to the family issues and due to the war. But it's a league of, you know, of also-rans and some very good teams. I mean, Hapoel Asa Jerusalem is just awful. You know, Hapoel Holon played them last night in a cup qualifying game, and, you know, Holon has not been good, but they did get the win. I've been happy to watch the games. The quality has been good. Ben, thoughts on the Women's League? I know you like it.
Yeah, like it's a shame the difference between the best teams and the worst teams in the league at the moment. I've been Ramla and Ramat Gan undefeated. On the other end, Maccabi Haifa, they aren't a bad team, but El Tzokolon and Asa, you know, Jerusalem are not great. Unfortunately, no wins. Shout out to Dor Sara from the 2-1 Ramat Sharon. She had 33 points the other night. I think she's averaging high 20s. She's been unbelievable on that team and doing very well. And like you said, the State Cup last night, I had Ramat Gan beat Petah Tikva, and Asa went down to Elitzur Holon. In a few weeks, it's going to be another State Cup game, quarterfinals. We'll get into the teams. We'll have written pieces about it. But if everyone who's looking to get any live basketball in Israel, get around to it, even if the foreigners aren't playing, it's still a great atmosphere because the fans are real, like ultra fans are great to have in the stadium.
It's fun. I think the one thing that we'll be looking at from the league this week is which Maccabi Tel Aviv imports are going to come back to play Benny Herzliya on Monday night. And we'll probably speak again maybe Tuesday or so. We'll do another podcast. But before we go, one little soccer note, 0-0 draw between Villarreal and Maccabi Haifa. Maccabi Haifa still in the running for third place, which would put them down to the Conference League. We'll see how they do. Ben, we have literally less than a minute to go. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter or on Instagram at BPASK85.
And me at The Sports Rabbi. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both. This is great. I want to wish everybody out there a Shabbat Shalom and a happy Hanukkah to all.